Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. In honor of Women's History Month, News and Talk 1380 WAOK presents a special edition of the Sister Soul Talk series, celebrating African American women trailblazers and their accomplishments.
Live well and win well. It's On Point with Wandel and Stokes, and certainly Dr. Rylan Gore. Welcome to Sister Talk.
Yes.
How are you today?
Excellent. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I know you're busy during this season, but I appreciate you for taking the time out to just really kind of talk with us during this time and talk with us about what you do in your work. Tell us a little bit. Tell our audience about your work and what you do.
So I'm a breast surgical oncologist, and that's just a fancy way of saying I'm a breast cancer surgeon. And so I'm usually one of the first people that women meet, you know, when they get a breast cancer diagnosis. And obviously I don't work in a bubble. I have a whole team of people who help to take care of these patients, and that includes, you know, the medical oncologist, so the people that will be in charge of delivering chemotherapy or endocrine therapy if a patient needs that, and the radiation doctors and their physical therapist, the plastic surgeon. You know, it's a big team of people that help take care of a woman when she gets a breast cancer diagnosis. And, you know, like I've said before, you've heard me say before, I just feel very blessed to be able to do what I do, especially as a, you know, young African-American female who has, you know, the pleasure, the blessing of being a surgeon and helping to take care of women of color, you know, all women.
Yeah.
You know, really important to me, you know, to have that ability to take care of women of color and advocate for them when, you know, traditionally the medical system isn't really kind to us always, you know. So that's, you know, the part about my job that I just really enjoy.
That's great. Dr. Gore, ever since the age of 11, you always knew that you wanted to be a physician. What brought that about? Like, how did you know at the age of 11 that's what you want
know.
To do?
It's so crazy. And my mom, we were just talking about this, actually, and she was like, I still don't know what sparked that. I just remember you coming home one day, and you were like, I'm going to be a doctor. And, you know, what you want to do when you're that age, it changes every week. I thought I was going to be a hairstylist, a lawyer, you know, and that one stuck. That one stuck. And, you know, I think God gives us these things, and he knows what, you know, we're called to do. And I showed devotion to that. I made sure that everything I did in my life aligned with that goal, and it worked out. And so that's what I'm excited about. That's a blessing.
That's good. During your times of your matriculation in education, it's not easy. It's not quick to become a physician, to become a surgeon. Tell us about some of the challenges while you were, you know, going through school. I know you graduated at the top of your class, but tell us about how that was for you as an African-American woman, you know, just going through that journey.
I'll say that certain aspects of it were very difficult. And, you know, leading up to, I grew up here. I went to Stone Mountain High School. And from that point on, I left the state. Most of my training was out of state and went to primarily white institutions. And the first HBCU I went to was actually Morehouse School of Medicine right down the road. And I have to say that was one of the most, med school is hard, like don't get it twisted, but that was one of the most empowering things that I've ever done, because you have doctors. I've never seen so many black doctors in my life.
Wow.
And so Black surgeons in my life, and then you realize I can do it. And even when they're fussing at you or you did something wrong, you know that you're still going to have somebody there that supports you. And little did I know that that was something I needed going into residency, because it's hard. And, you know, I'll say, just throw out some statistics, African Americans make up about 2-3% of the physician workforce. And then when it comes to surgeons, we're only about 2-3% of the surgical workforce as well, especially Black women. And so, you know, I'm kind of a unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of stand out. And just,
but it's hard.
Yeah.
I did my general surgery residency at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, and Cook County in Chicago, which is similar to Grady. And Rush was actually in Newsweek yesterday because they're one of the first. I'm proud of that legacy. They're one of the first hospitals in the country that can quickly, you know, less than 2 hours, turn over different wards in their hospital to accommodate all of these patients suffering from coronavirus or whatever. And so that's a part of the, you know, rich legacy I'm a part of. But it was also difficult because I was the only little chocolate chip in the whole department.
Wow. You know? Okay.
And so I was only, you know, the third Black woman to graduate from Rush General Surgery's residency program. And I know the second Black woman, she's a colorectal surgeon with Morehouse School of Medicine. And so I'm proud of that, but there's still a lot of work to do as it relates to getting, you know, our Black boys and girls into STEM, into, you know, the sciences and mathematics and engineering and all of that.
That's good. And I understand you do a lot of educating and advocating about, you know, surgical diseases and disparities in surgical care and education. Elaborate on that a little bit.
I think it's important. And most of the time, you know, I don't get paid to do some of the stuff I do. I do it because I love it. But I think it's really important for people in the community, corporations, whoever, to know what it's like to be a patient with cancer, what they have to go through, and also teaching regular everyday people how to advocate for themselves and what's real and what's not, because there's so many myths going out about everything. It really doesn't matter what the health situation is, from breast cancer to coronavirus. There's a whole lot of bad information out there, and sometimes it's hard to parse through what's real and what's not and figure out, how do I take care of myself? And so I consider that a part of the job. At work, I spend a lot of time with my patients. I want to make sure that every single person that walks through the door, Black, white, whatever, tall, short, it doesn't matter, that they are empowered and that they know what's going on so that they can make educated decisions as it relates to their health and their treatment.
That's good. That's good. Dr. Gore, in your opinion, during this time, what do cancer patients need to do to help protect, to help cover themselves during this time?
They're usually all over it anyway, because most patients going through cancer have to undergo some kind of additional treatment, whether that's chemotherapy or radiation. But certainly those chemotherapy patients, they're usually wearing their masks and doing that anyway, even on a good day, because their immune systems are down and it's not good to be around a bunch of people. And so I've been telling my patients that, certainly, especially, you don't know what's going on. And what we know now is that there are a lot of asymptomatic carriers out there that don't know they have coronavirus, but they're spreading it. It's real easy to spread something that you don't know you have. And so I tell them, limit your time outside, make sure you're eating right, make sure, you know, if you're around sick contacts, you got to isolate yourself. All the things that the CDC and all these other people are saying is real. And I'm making sure that my cancer patients are doing that also.
That's good. Dr. Gore, what would you say to caregivers, those who are caring for aged parents and loved ones who have cancer and have other illnesses and diseases? What do you say to the caregivers?
Take care. It's really hard to pour from an empty cup, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I always tell my caregivers, you know, even on a regular day, make sure that you're taking time out for yourself too, whatever that looks like. You know what I mean? Whether that's a walk around the block, whether for you that means uninterrupted sleep, whatever that looks like. Obviously, we have to be more careful now with everything going on, so we can't be out in the streets as much. But I think it's very important for us to include caregivers, because I think a lot of times they're putting in a lot of work, and caring for somebody you love who's sick is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job, and oftentimes they just don't get the credit. And I think for people around them, ask them what they need. You know, sometimes people are so worried about the person that's sick that they're not even thinking about the other person who's giving of their time and resources on top of all the other responsibilities they have. And so ask them, are you okay? Do you need anything? Is there something I can do? Offer up your time and say, guess what? I'll watch this person or I'll take them to that visit today so that you can get a break. They need that. And a lot of times people don't think about it.
What about when it comes to women? Women sometimes are so giving and just pouring out and emptying out of themselves and don't take that time for themselves.
Same thing. I tell them the same thing. No is a full sentence.
<You know>? Right, right.
We feel bad if we say no, you know? And as we're already showing, if something happens tomorrow, these companies are going to do what they want to do and look out for self. Everybody else is going to look out for self. People go into panic mode. And so no is a full sentence. And I encourage women that I know in my life and also the women I see in my office to do the same thing.
That's good. That's good. Wow, that's good. Dr. Rylan Gore from Northside Hospital. She's an oncologist surgeon, and she's doing a lot of things in the community. She's helping, advising, teaching, training, and inspiring. We're going to ask her more about some of those challenges that she's faced as being a female in a male-dominant field. More to come. It's Sister Talk right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Now back to Sister Talk with On Point with Wandlin Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wandlin Stokes, and it is Sister Talk with Dr. Rylan Gore. Dr. Gore, tell us, there are many challenges that women face as being females in a male-dominant business and environment. Have you experienced it? And if so, how have you dealt with it?
Oh, yeah, you get treated differently. Sometimes, you know, you want to do certain cases or have access to certain research projects and they say no or say it's not available, and then, you know, you look up the next day and your white counterpart you want to do. Or it's as simple as, you know, just sitting there minding your business and listening, and then somebody being told, well, you have an attitude, and you're like, well, hold up, I didn't even say anything, I'm listening to what's going on. You know, just being treated, once again, as always, being treated very differently, working super, super hard. Sometimes people see you, sometimes they don't. You don't get credit. You know, it's some of the same old. And then sometimes people flat out, you know, denying that you're even the physician. I remember walking into a patient's room and, oh, are you here to pick up my tray? Even though, you know, you got your scrubs on, you got you got your ID badge on that says you're a physician. You know, the disrespect is real. And I used to let it bother me, and now I don't. And so, you know, sometimes I just stare and make them feel uncomfortable, or I say, you know, it is possible to be a black female and a physician, you know, and
right.
Make people really think about what they're saying, you know.
That's right. That's right. What hardships have you faced and overcame in your professional life?
I think professionally, you know, residency is very hard. And for me, you know, proving that you're capable of doing the job and having, you know, your training at risk and possibly even being kicked out, you know, over very baseless claims, you know. And a lot of medicine, nobody will ever tell you, but a lot of it is very objective, and it's still very much an old boys club. And if somebody likes you, then sometimes they slide you along, even if you're not capable. But as for me, like in my incoming cohort, when I even started residency, you would never know by the way they treated me, but I was the one that had the highest scores and all of this other kind of stuff. And
yeah.
So, at the end of the day, it's about knowing who you are, but holding your own, learning how to play the game, learning how to play well in the sandbox, even though, like, you shouldn't, some of these things you shouldn't have to do when you've already proven that you're capable of doing the job, you know. And so that's difficult. That's difficult. And of course, when it comes to surgery and medicine in general, looking out for our brothers too. There aren't a lot of black men in medicine anymore. And a lot of them that are there that we know, they're getting older and they're retiring.
Okay.
And so you know, maintaining that and encouraging them to try.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Everybody wants a physician that looks like them. And I think studies have shown that we receive more quality care when we're able to relate to our physicians and other healthcare providers. And we have that example. You have somebody that looks out for you and somebody that looks like you. And so there's still a lot of challenges in medicine. And I think, you know, I keep bringing up Corona, but, you know, it's everywhere. It's all we see. But I think it's also highlighting a lot of the flaws we have in this country on multiple levels, including the healthcare system.
That's true. What advice, doctor, would you give to other women who tend to find themselves in non-traditional roles?
Keep your head held high. And a lot of this stuff, I still struggle with it. Because if you know what you're doing and you do your job well, that's one thing that nobody can ever take away from you. You know what I mean? And one thing I tell my patients and one thing I try to do all the time is deliver the same care and the top-notch care every single time. And for me, in my mind...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And I tell my patients also, I verbalize it, but if you treat every person like that's your mother or your sister or your aunt or whatever, then you're going to make sure you do the right thing, right?
Right.
And you're going to make sure you really advocate and you go hard. And so I just recommend doing your best every single time. Keep your head held high. We don't have to be sassy all the time.
Just keep your head held high.
Lord ain't through with me, Wanda.
That's right. He's not through with you. What do you consider that necessary strength for women to be successful?
I think we already have it. We have the confidence.
Oh,
that's
good.
We have the confidence. You know what I mean? And for us, specifically as not just women, but Black women, we're used to making something out of nothing, right? We're used to being innovative. We're used to seeing our moms and our grandmoms make miracles. And you're like, how did she do that? You know, and so we have to
same
strength. I think nowadays, especially these young kids, they have no coping skills. They have no get to itness. I don't really know what else to say. Like, they hear no and they're just like, okay, I'm done. Or they get something they don't like, okay, well, forget you. And you can't do that. You got to push through. And I think that's important and something that we can learn and remember from our ancestors. And so even when I wanted to give up, you know, I had family members, but specifically strong women in my life who said, absolutely not, you're going to keep going. And I think we got to draw upon that and draw upon our networks and draw upon other people who are doing things that we want to do. And if you see them doing it well, ask them how they did it.
Yeah.
You're afraid to ask people, you know, and you can't have that kind of pride when you're trying to make moves.
That is so true. That is true. Do you get back to yourself? Do you take time off and replenish yourself? How do you juggle and manage that?
You know, when I get home, I shut it all down.
Okay.
I try not to think about work when I get home. I spend time with my family. I spend time with my significant other. I like to cook. I like to read. I study my Bible. I study, you know, my work, the things that, you know, interest me. And so I think it's important, whatever that hobby is.
Yeah.
You got to make time for it. And that's something I'm still working on. But yeah,
I think we all are. Right before you leave, doctor, what I just want you to share whatever you think the public need to know about the coronavirus or what they need to do and things like that.
Yeah. please take it seriously. I think a lot of people aren't taking it seriously, and so you still have people up in the street, but it does out in the street, and it does kill. And I think one thing that we're seeing is that it actually is impacting younger people way more than we thought. When it first came out, right, they were saying, oh, well, if you're old, you're as good as done. But that's not true. Anybody that's, you know, immunocompromised, you need to stay in the house. I think we need to take social distancing very seriously. And for those of us who are in the healthcare field, whatever capacity that is, not even, you know, not even just physicians, but anybody who works in that hospital setting, and you know you're going to probably be around somebody that's sick, we have to do extra things. So as soon as you get in the house, take those dirty clothes off from work and throw them in the wash. You know, make sure we're practicing basic hygienic things. You know, clean the surfaces in the house. If somebody's sick, isolate them as soon as possible. And then, of course, everybody loves their supplements and all of that, but we do know that there are certain things that have been shown to worsen coronavirus in people, even healthy people. So everybody likes, you know, their elderberry and all of these other kind of things, but it can actually be problematic. And if you do have a fever or whatever, take Tylenol, Motrin, and some other things have been shown to actually worsen coronavirus as well.
Oh, wow. So you're suggesting that they take Tylenol and...
Tylenol.
Okay. Okay.
And Motrin can worsen the response if somebody is affected by coronavirus. Just practice normal hygienic things. Stay in the house. I know it's hard, but it's your house. We don't get... When we have to be out the house, we complain. We want to be home.
Right. real quick, Todd, I need you to, Todd had a question for our guest, but I guess we'll get back to that just a little bit later. I want to say to Dr. Gore, thank you so much for sharing in our call this morning and in our sister talk and sharing with our audience, because the things that she shared with us today are very, very important. So make sure, even if you missed the show, even if you missed what we talked about today with Dr. Gore, go to radio.com, rewind, and make sure that you pay attention to everything that she said today, because I think it was just very insightful, the things that she shared with us. It's Sister Talk, and it's always giving you some real good information with what we're sharing. We're always trying to keep you in the loop and making sure that you understand and know what's happening around the world. And we just want to say to all of you, make sure you pay attention and stay connected to us. We want you to stay healthy, stay in a good place. Make sure you protect yourself, wash your hands, sanitize, and make sure you do that. But we want to make sure that you stay connected. We've got a few more minutes. The doctor is still on the line. She's calling back now. And so we'll come back very shortly. Keep listening. We are News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Live Well, Win Well is on point with Wandalyn Stokes. Dr. Gore?
Yes.
You're here. We're so glad you're still here. Thank you so much for holding tight with us. Todd from Atlanta has a question for you. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Wandalyn.
Hi, Todd.
I so much like that you rotate your intro, Wandalyn. Please remember Chaka Khan's birthday is on March 23rd, this Monday.
Okay, good.
Riley, I had two questions for you. As malpractice insurance, as it applies to people that have no ethics violations and have not ever been successfully sued, mm-hmm. do you find that the malpractice insurance is unreasonable? And I wanted to ask you if you could give an example of where you believe that the medical field has been not kind to women as it applies to research and day-to-day care.
Yeah. So regarding malpractice, you know, every state has their own rules, and there's like a certain amount that you have to carry. And it's because sometimes, especially certain fields, not mine necessarily, but there are certain fields like OB-GYN where people have a long time to come back and blame you or say you did something wrong or whatever. And these suits, they're usually not for, you know, $10,000-$20,000. They're usually for millions and millions of dollars, and that can be catastrophic to anybody other than, you know, Jeff Bezos, to be completely honest.
And often,
so
you're wrong.
It sucks. when you have to carry all of the malpractice, but it's for our own protection so that, you know, other assets aren't attacked, like, you know, our homes and all and savings and 401ks and all of that. And so it's a balancing act. But I will say that there are certain specialties that have it much harder than I do, you know. Regarding treatment of people, of women in the medical field and all of that, there have been studies to show that from the very beginning, first contact with the medical field as it relates to screening mammograms, for example, all the way to treatment, whether you're offered chemotherapy, whether you're offered radiation, whatever, the standard of care that Black women and women of color, not just African Americans, are more likely to be treated differently and not receive the standard of care compared to their white counterparts. And across the board, we see this. There's a plethora of studies. You can go to PubMed and type it in, and all this crap will come up as it relates to being offered breast reconstruction, as it relates to treatment when we present to the ER with symptoms consistent with a heart attack. Are you going to get triaged appropriately and get the intervention you need to stop the heart attack and not die? You know, little things we don't even think about. Are you going to get offered the correct surgery? Are you going to get offered surgery at all? It's mind-blowing, actually. And when I started doing the research and really getting interested in despairs and health disparities and disparities in surgical care, my mind was blown, actually. And so it's important to have, you know, people that look like you to help advocate for you and for patients to just be self-educated and advocate for themselves and really push. Some people don't know how to do that, and you can get really lost in the healthcare system if you don't know which questions to ask and where to go.
Wow, that's very good. Thank you, Todd.
Yep.
Thank you. That's a great question.
Yeah, very great. Dr. Gore, right before you leave, I want you to share again. You were talking about a lot of people during this coronavirus are relying on natural supplements and herbs and things of that nature. But from your perspective, what are you saying that individuals need to include or alleviate? Or what are some of the things that can harm those who are carriers or those who are infected by this virus?
I'm all about, you know, using natural supplements or whatever in addition to traditional medicine to take care of health issues. But we do know that there are certain things that completely exacerbate the situation if somebody is affected by coronavirus. So they are saying elderberry, for example, it's great, you know, to boost your immune system in any other situation. But as it relates to this novel coronavirus, it can actually exponentially make it worse, and patients are at risk of severe morbidity or even mortality. And so it's important to not use elderberry. They're also saying that ibuprofen and Motrin, drugs like that, certain non-steroidal anti-inflammatories can also mediate an intense immune response. And so to stay away from it, Tylenol is safe. That we do know.
Okay. Wow. Great. That's very insightful. Dr. Gore, thank you so much for participating in our Sister Talk. We appreciate you. You're just a friend. You're just a friend of ours, and we love you so much from the bottom of our hearts. How's your mom doing?
She's good. Mama Bear is great.
You tell Mama Bear I said hello. Give her an elbow for me, okay?
I will.
How can people follow you on social media?
It's easy. On all of my social media platforms, they can find me at Ryland Gore, M-D, R-Y-L-A-N-D, G-O-R-E, M-D. And, of course, there's my website, RylandGoreMD.com. And then there's my normal work website, NorthAtlantaBreast.com. So if anybody has any breast concerns specifically, I'm happy to talk to them about that as well.
Great. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We love you so much.
Love y'all.
And keep doing what you're doing, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, you're certainly making a difference. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Ryland Gore. Thank you for sharing with us. It's been a great sister talk, I'm telling you.
Excellent.
All right. Take care and stay healthy and keep up the good work. Blessings to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.